thank you for allowing me to be here with you. I'm Dennis Crehan from Mid-Atlantic Christian University, and got to talk to Barry before coming, and Barry, God bless you. I tell you love the Lord, and I know you love these people, and I know you're glad to be here, and you're glad to have him as your minister. Amen? Amen. Give him a big hand. Especially when he got ripped off for $100. So, and I'm representing Mid-Atlantic Christian University. I was a 93 graduate there. I went to school later in life. I graduated from college in Baltimore, Maryland in 1976 in Towson State University, and then wised up years later, and the Lord was tugging on our hearts to do something different, and the minister at Ocean View Church of Christ, after we were baptized there in 1987, started praying for me and Debbie, and all of a sudden, 3 years later, we're at Roanoke Bible College, and 25 years later, I preached for 25 years at Jarvisburg Church, which is right down near the Outer Banks, right 10 minutes from Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, and God's blessed us in such tremendous ways, and we want to thank you for your tremendous support of Mid-Atlantic Christian University. Thomas O'Malley was a young man in Edinburgh, Scotland. When he was young, everybody thought he looked just like Elvis. But it was a small town, and people just got to see him every day, and it was no big deal. Well, he went into ministry, and he preached 25 years at Edinburgh, Scotland, and for his retirement party, the congregation wanted to send him to United States to visit some relatives. So being Scottish, they were looking for the best deal, and they flew him into Las Vegas, Nevada. And he gets off the plane in Las Vegas, Nevada. they're gonna find the best deal. They get him into Las Vegas, Nevada, and he gets off the plane, goes down to get his baggage, and people are saying, "Elvis, Elvis, Elvis, I knew you weren't dead. I knew you weren't dead." And he said, "No, I'm Thomas O'Malley. I'm preaching in Edinburgh, Scotland." And he gets down, and he goes out to the Uber and the cab, "Oh, Elvis, 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 I knew you couldn't be dead. You're my favorite. You're the best thing. You're the king." And he said, "Oh, I'm Thomas O'Malley, and I just preached in Edinburgh, Scotland, here to visit relatives." And he got to the hotel, and the manager came out and said, "Elvis, we're glad you returned. Your room's ready. The key to this city, everything is free." And he says, "Thank you. Thank you very much." And that's all I'm here to do today, is say thank you. Thank you very much for supporting Mid-Atlantic Christian University. You know, because without your support, there wouldn't be a Mid-Atlantic Christian University. And a lot of our churches are small churches all around the country, Christian churches, churches of Christ, standing for the truth of the gospel in an age that doesn't want to hear the truth. And it's because of individual gifts that people give and churches' gifts that Mid-Atlantic can still be in existence today. And it's got a bright future with John Maurice, the new president, and he sends his greetings. So I'm just here to say thank you. And I want to talk, and there's also a little bit of information on the school there. There's some cards, little information cards if you'd like to get the messenger from Mid-Atlantic Christian University. They can email that to you or send it snail mail. They'd probably love to just email it to you. But that keeps you updated on the school. Maybe your mission committee would like to keep getting those. But there's some free pens over there. Who doesn't like free? There's a couple free pens over there. So just help yourself. Would you say that the world's becoming a better place or a more immoral place? Oh, if you have any age to you, you've seen our country going, making a wrong turn. And it's making a wrong turn because it's getting away from the things of God. Now, back in my hippie days when I was in college the first time, I used to listen to guys like Ozzy Osbourne and all those heavy metal bands back then. And one of his songs says, "We're going off the rails in a crazy train." And that's what it's like living in America today, if you have any age with you. You know, I'm seeing things happening in our country today I never thought would happen in America. And Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And that's just what our country's like. All the things that we knew were wrong and considered sinful back in our day are now, by our culture's estimate, considered right and normal. You know, and here we are trying to stand with the love of God, with the truth of God, trying to teach people the way, the truth, and the life about Jesus Christ, and we're considered the ones who are kind of the enemies of the culture. And George Orwell said, "The further society drifts from truth, the more it hates the one who speaks it." So we got to be ready for that. When we sit, now we have to speak the truth in love. Amen? I mean, that's, we're here to represent good news of Jesus Christ. But we have to stand up for the truth of God's word. And our modern world doesn't even believe that there is absolute truth anymore, especially truths that emanate and come from God. So what's the answer? What are we going to do? You know, we've got to teach the world, our generation, this generation again, to embrace the revelation of God over human wisdom again. Because we used to live in a land that had a Christian worldview, and we used to believe that the Bible was true. Even if you didn't go to church, you believed that the Bible was true. So we must choose to embrace God's revelation over man's understanding, even if it doesn't seem to be true anymore. And it's not considered in our culture, but we know the truths of Scripture are from divine, from God the Father, and they're for our good. So we need to embrace those truths again. We must return to the idea that it's only in Jesus Christ that man can truly thrive, and only the things of God can truly satisfy our lives, because we have a soul. And it's only the things that come from God that can fill that soul. And that's what Parkview Church, and that's what Mid-Atlantic Christianity is there to do, is to teach people the ways of God and the Word of God so that they can thrive in the generation in which they live. Because people now don't really know what true living's all about. They think it's all about the flesh. It's all about eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. It's all just about fun, fast living in this day and age. But we have to teach a whole generation how to again find their sweet spot. And their sweet spot comes from God. How many of you ever played baseball growing up? Man, you grab that bat and you have that Louisville slugger. And that pitcher throws the ball. If you hit it out on the end, it stings your hand and it just squibbles on off. If you hit it down by the handle, it may break off in your hands. But you hit that ball in the sweet spot and it's gone. Home run over the fence, baseball trot around the bases, giving it a slow trot. You know, in life has a sweet spot as well. And God has given each of us a zone, a life precinct, where we're designed to dwell and we're designed to thrive as human beings. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He's made everything beautiful in its time, and he set eternity in the human heart." Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. See, we get it. Christians get it. The world doesn't understand it. We're made in the image of God. Amen. We're made for God and his glory, and we're the only ones that when we are in that relationship, a good relationship with God is going to allow us to have a good relationship with other people and with all people that we run into. We're made in the image of God for God, and we understand how precious life is. I don't care what the New York legislature says. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Psalm 139 says, "You're fearfully and wonderfully made, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." You've got to understand that. You're not an accident. You're not a random being that just came into this world with no forethought or no providence in your life. You were made because God allowed you to be made. And even if you came into this world with not a lot of love from parents, you're not a mistake. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you're unconditionally loved by our Creator. God says in one of his famous verses in all the Bible, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him would what? Not perish, but have eternal life. God loves you. He needs you. I don't care if the world's beating you down. I don't care if your life circumstances have beaten you down. You'll never thrive in your soul until you realize how much God loves you. And he loves you. And he doesn't love us for our intelligence. Can I hear an amen? He doesn't love us for our fake money. I mean our worldly wealth. He's crazy about you. And he's crazy about me. He desires an intimate relationship with you. And God has your best interest at heart. And he wants you to have an abundant life in Jesus Christ. The book of John chapter 10 says, Satan comes to, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what's going on around us in our culture today. And Jesus says, I come to you have life and have it abundantly, or have it to the full. So it's only in Christ Jesus can our soul thrive. And, you know, the culture is doing everything to strip you from all your knowledge of God and trusting God. And our secular culture has altered the idea about what true life is. And back in the 70s, back kind of my hippie days back then when we had hair, remember you had the hair, Barry? I studied sociology and psychology at first. And I look back, and in the 1950s, we lost our innocence. That's when that little square tube came into our homes, that little square box called television. And it was really innocent at first. I mean, leave it to Beaver. Father knows best. You know, I mean, golly day. What other ones? I Love Lucy, all those great shows. They were great shows. But Hollywood had its in to our homes. And we lost our innocence. In the 1960s, my generation, we lost all idea of authority. The slogan was, don't trust anyone after 30. We said that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus, and we declared God to be dead. If you're from that generation, you remember that we said those things. We saw the morality of the nation start to wane. I blame my generation in the 60s for part of the real ruination of the society. In the 70s, we lost love. We had the flower power generation come out of the 60s into the 70s, and their focus was on sex, not true love. And then you had immoral behavior, diseases becoming rampant in our society. We traded love for physical pleasure. In the 1980s, we lost the sense of value. Everybody was all interested in just making money as much as possible. Even the movies, Wall Street, Gordon Gekko, the theme from that was greed is good, if you remember. In the 1990s, we lost faith. The Oklahoma City bombing, Columbine, parents started to realize for the first time in history that their children might not have as good a life as we have. In the year 2000, we lost security. It was Y2K, remember? We knew that all the geeks like Barry would tell us, your computers are going to crash, and the world's going to come to an end. Well, Dean's did crash this week. So he was just 20, 30 years later. In the years 2019, we've lost hope because people nowadays don't believe in truth. They don't believe in right or wrong. They think anything goes, and our nation is crying out, agonizing. See, without God at our core, We lost innocence, authority, love, values, faith, security, and hope. And all these things are only restored in Jesus Christ. All these qualities are benefits from being in Christ. You can't get them from culture. So your sweet spot in life is going to have to come from the mind and the heart of God for you to truly thrive in this generation. Well, how's this going to happen in your life? You can go to church. The Pharisees were miserable in Jesus' day, and he rebuked them for just being religious on the outside. He said they were like the whitewashed tombs full of dead man's bones. You can go to church till the cows come home, and your soul can be miserable, just as miserable as the world. Jesus needs to be Lord of your life. Can't be lukewarm about the things of God or the church. What did Jesus say? If you're lukewarm, he'll do what? Right out of your mouth. Right out of the mouth. You can't be lukewarm about the things of God, because he's God. Matthew 22:37 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now imagine if I had like a big, beautiful life box here. And you're interested, you're a young man, and you think, oh, I just love to be popular. If you just put popular in there first, you may have some initial popularity. But in the end, it's not going to satisfy your soul. If you want to be rich and famous, and you spend all your energy trying to get rich and famous, and you don't put Jesus in that box first and foremost of your life. I know a lot of rich and famous people that are miserable. But if you put Jesus first in your life box and let him be Lord of your life, then you will see over time, you will see spiritual growth. You'll see spiritual depth where you will start to crave the things that are of God. And it'll be those things that are of God that will fill and fuel your soul. It's not easy living in this age in which we live, because the culture is changing and the culture is anti-God. Unless you have been raised in a Christian family, unless you're attending church or have gone to a Christian school, you'll be forced to settle for less than God's best. You, as an individual, you must develop a vision to be like Jesus. And that's what Parkview is trying to do for you. Trying to get your attention focused, not out there in the park, not out there in Stanton, not out there in the world, but to focus your life's desire on Jesus Christ and his church. To be light and salt to a lost and dying world. And unless you build a vision to be a sold-out disciple of Christ and to become like Jesus, you're going to be worn down by the world, you'll be used by the world, and it'll spit you out, and your soul will never find its sweet spot. Now, our culture fosters anti-God relationships, especially in our education system. And I hate to say that, because when I grew up in Baltimore City public schools, you know what we said every day before we started class? The Lord's Prayer. In Baltimore City public schools, we said the Lord's Prayer. You know what we had on the walls in Baltimore City public schools? It was the Ten Commandments, the words and teachings of God. And see, when the home and the church and the school teaches the same thing, it fuels the faith that we have. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is beginning wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Here's an alarming fact even for us Christian parents and grandparents. When we send our kids to secular universities, Frank Turk, which is a Christian apologist, he says 75% of church kids will fall away from the church and their Christian faith after attending a secular university. And it's, I mean, you know, various reasons, the independence that they have when they leave college and leave to go to college. They used to live where mom and dad would make half the decisions for them. Now they're on their own. They're young. They're going to make some boneheaded decisions. Peer pressure to fit in. be accepted in the environment. Students succumb to social pressures and conform to behaviors and values and actions of the kids around them. And I'm telling you, the campuses, even back in the 60s, don't compare to what's going on in campuses today. It's amazing what happens on a college campus. John 6:3 says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. And then thirdly is biblical ignorance. We're allowing our kids even be raised in church, and they're not strong disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, they may have been entertained, and they may have had events and had pizza and all like that, but we've got to do a better job in the home and in the church of raising our children to know why they believe in Jesus Christ. Why do we worship on Sunday? Why do we gather around the Lord's table? We used to be called people of the book. We used to be known as the people who really knew and understood the Bible. If you don't train that child in the way that he should go and raise them up, when you send them out to secular universities nowadays, they're going to get eaten alive. And as Christian family churches, we must do a better job of training our young people to be sold out disciples of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you're truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When you're free in your soul. And your soul is free to face any situation that life will bring at us. And it helps us find that sweet spot that we all have that only God can fill. You remember singing the hymn years ago, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely, sing it with me, freely give. I will ever love and trust thee, in thy presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Unless your soul surrenders all, you may be in church and your soul may not be fulfilled. Develop a life plan that will help your soul be surrendered to the Lord. Incorporate those disciplines into your life each and every day. Build the biblical instructions into your marriage. Build it into your family and your children. Build it into incorporating it into every aspect of your life. That's what we're trying to do at Mid-Atlantic Christian University. Back then, I was telling them in Sunday school, when it first started, it was just probably 8 guys that were there to study to be ministers, to help fill the pulpits of the churches that didn't have ministers for every pulpit like they do today. But now there's so many different other programs they can take. The curriculum's getting as varied as like Liberty University. Now, we're nowhere the size of Liberty University, but it's a school that's designed to teach people in a Christian setting so that their soul can thrive, and then they can go out in the world whatever they want to do in life, they will be able to be a Christian who is a nurse, a Christian who is a teacher, a Christian who's doing church work, doing missionary work, working in the business realm to change the culture back to what it was when we believed in Christ. Scientists recently discovered that dark matter is the substance that's holding the universe together. Now, I'm no scientist, I just read about it. But it's interesting, listen to what Colossians 1:15-20 says. The sun is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, where the thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created in him, through him, and for him. Amen? For him. We're created for him, but all things are. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. That means outside of him, nothing's going to hold together. In him you have union with the Father. In him you have wisdom. In him you have truth. Outside of him you have man's ideas. In him you're designed to thrive. Even though we have to live in a difficult world, even if we live in a difficult world that doesn't want to hear our Christian message, Paul said back in his day that, you know, the apostles were like the scum of the earth because they were being harassed at every turn. Everywhere they went to preach the gospel, there was opposition. Well, that's going to happen to us as well. But Paul would say in 2 Corinthians that he's being led daily in triumphal procession in Jesus Christ. Because Paul's whole goal in life was to be and remain and be in Christ and carry out his mission. And that's what we want. I want to just thank you from the bottom of my heart that you're continuing to support Mid-Atlantic Christian University. That we can take these young people coming out of churches that may be weak, coming out of families that aren't strong, and we can teach them the truths of the gospel. We can teach them to be young men and women who will go out and love the Lord with all their heart. And because of what you've done over the years, you've allowed Mid-Atlantic Christian University to stay in business. And we want to say thank you. We want to be a partner with you. You know, if you have questions or if the college can help you in any way, we're here to be available. But the first and foremost thing, Barry's going to lead you in a time of invitation, is do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? And are you willing to be used of him to make this place a better place in which to live?